The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, Monday Night Raw, review.
All right, here to talk about WWE Raw for Wrestling to the Max's review. I screwed this up completely, so good on me for acting like I haven't done this. Anyway, so you can assume that I'm doing the intro because Gary is not here. He is actually watching Guardians of the Galaxy right now, Volume 2, so go him. Have you seen the movie yet?
I did. I saw it Sunday.
I have seen it too. It's I think I like the first one a little bit more, but it's like pulling hairs, I think, for me. And I've heard some people don't think it's even close. Some people think it's even better. So
I enjoyed the second one a lot. I think it does better as a standalone film, apart from the rest of the MCU, but the first one has such a better pace and structure than this one, but that's because this one had so much more to accomplish with more characters and introductions and all this other stuff. So I thought Kurt Russell was phenomenal, though. He was an absolutely terrific bad guy. Played up Ego perfectly, too, so...
Yeah, you definitely get the sense that he just really works for that character, and then just I like the fact that you learn a lot more about some of the, you know, kind of they're not the main cast, you know.
Right.
That was one of the cool things about, like, you know, learning about Yondu, and I don't remember the assistant's name.
Mantis?
Yeah, Mantis, and you know, just it's. And they made Drax. Batista said they were giving him stuff to make him uncomfortable on purpose, for him to say, which is great in its own way. Because some of the stuff he'd say, I'm like, wow, you really wouldn't say that to somebody. But in this movie, it just works. Yes, we're here to talk about the taped London show, and of course, the SmackDown we'll talk about tomorrow will also be taped because they're both in the same place, but they decided to, I guess, Stephanie and Kurt Angle both could not be in England, so they decided to give the GM role to two people, The Miz and Dean Ambrose, to continue their feud through authority figure stuff, which, you know, it's... I thought it was sort of interesting to do as a one-off, you know. And so Dean Ambrose kind of comes out to let you know what's going on. The Miz does not approve of Ambrose being a GM, of course. Apparently, you know, Stephanie and Kurt Angle did not talk to each other at all about this. Even though isn't Stephanie supposed to be, you know, above Kurt Angle in the pecking order? Like, shouldn't they be talking about...
Sort of vanished since WrestleMania, so we don't even know if she's been talking to Kurt at all or not.
I guess that's fair, but interesting that Ambrose does mention her, so perhaps we will see her back soon. I've kind of liked her not being on the show, but you know, McMahon can't stay away too long. Braun appears. We found out during the weekend that he got hurt and he could be out of action, at least, of a month to 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of disappointing with the how run he has been on. He doesn't care about who's in charge. He wants some Roman Reigns. Kalisto shows up because apparently Kalisto just likes getting the crap beat out of him. And he wants to challenge Braun Strowman to a match. because I guess, you know, he, since he did beat him in that dumpster match, you know, he feels like he's good to do this. And Braun says, well, I can beat you with one arm. And Ambrose takes him up on that, and we get a one-armed Braun Strowman against a Kalisto a little bit later on. But you can imagine that because of what happened in that dumpster match, and after he beat him up, you know what's going to happen here. Braun is just going to whoop him some Kalisto, and that happens. Just a fun little let's beat this man up thing.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Roman Reigns attack.
Yes, of course. Roman Reigns has to get involved because we have to have a way to write off Braun, right? Because he's going to be gone for, you know, at least a month or two. So Roman Reigns attacking him, causing the DQ. And, yeah, good for, I guess this means Roman now can do something else.
You know, the injury really sucks because there was a lot planned for Braun as far as going past whatever they're going to do with Reigns here at Extreme Rules. And you have some issues now that come up because, one, this feud isn't over, so that leaves some hangover for when Braun does come back, whether it's a month or two. And you got to figure out how to get Roman Reigns back in the thick of things now that he needs to stop being all beat up now, because you need him to do something, clearly. And I don't know, this opens up a lot of things. I was fine with what we got here. Kalisto is vaguely interesting in this role. He gets the crap beat out of him, so I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about there, but I mean, seeing what Raw's going to be like without Braun for a little bit, who they've been pushing so hard to be the top guy, or to be at least in the running for top guy, you know, is going to be really interesting to see who they have to fall back on. Maybe this opens things up for Finnegan. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, definitely, you know, Finn is going to be somebody that's going to be on the radar, I think. What the Roman, they had no other sort of prospects for Roman other than, you know, Brock is around.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be interesting on, like you said, is this Finn just going to be somebody they toss in there, but he's doing something with Bray Wyatt, sort of. So the pickings are kind of slim as far as main eventers. Because your IC titles program's already taken. This, you know, I don't know. Do you just have Reigns not do anything then? I mean, maybe they just give him time off too.
Yeah, and maybe they should at this point just to help sell the injury. Like, you know, he might have taken Braun out, but he's still recovering a lot as well. So I would be okay with that, even if it's just for a couple weeks. Until you sort out how you're going to get to Extreme Rules now with, or not to Extreme Rules, to past Extreme Rules. Because now that's the next hurdle with all the big matches you already have scheduled, and you're going to have to shuffle things around now, and it's just, it's kind of turned into a bit of a mess. Especially, you know, there's no Brock around, and now there's no Braun. Like, how's this even going to work?
Yeah, I mean, a slight... other than possibly bringing Brock in and having to pay a bunch of extra money, I just don't see what you can really do at this point because everybody that's sort of in that picture that they could use is locked up with somebody else. So unless they just shove Roman into a feud to make it a triple threat, I mean, that's mm-hmm. the only other thing I can really see here. But, you know, I'm looking at the roster page here and, like, no one jumps out of me at all that they could even, you could even imagine them putting with Roman other than just him having a squash match or something.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to, however they decide to move things around with the top of the card, because obviously if you need Finn or Seth now, who are the rumored challengers now that Braun is out and away, you're going to have to either finish up with Joe and move Roman there, or you have to do Bray and Roman again, or you're going to have to slot Roman in somewhere else and try to find something for him to do. Like, I'd be okay. Like, tag division needs help. You can put him in there for a while if you want to. I mean, you know he'll get heat against the Hardys.
Yeah, I mean, they did. After Extreme Rules, a lot of these things are going to have to go somewhere else. So they can't keep doing the same feud, especially with what's happened here. Just, you know, I mean, I guess you could have The Miz get the IC title back and Navy Dean. I don't know. Like, it's just, if you look at it from so many, he's pretty much feuded with almost everybody there except for Finn. So, and like the thing with Bray just feels like that's got to be more than just 1 month. So, you know, it's a bit weird, but I could see them putting him into one of these feuds and just making it a triple threat or something. Just because it's so difficult for me to see to just be like, oh, the Seth one's the only one that I could think, okay, well, this feud's gone on so long now. You got to end it somewhere. That's the only one I'd go, well, all right, you can, but it's like, do you really want Seth and Roman again?
I mean, Joe and Roman would make sense to some degree, if you can shunt him over into that. Like, I mean, maybe Joe just wants to pick up the pieces and keep on making a name for himself against the big guy, you know, but or the big dog or whatever he's calling himself these days. So, and if Dean's going to drop the belt to The Miz, which I think looks likely at this point, then maybe you shunt Dean over and turn him heel, which seems like something they've been wanting to do for a while because they've never had Dean and Roman feud either. So if you want to do something fresh there, that might work.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still go with Dean needs that turn at some point here. He needs a little freshness. I mean, look, he's funny. He was funny on, I thought, here with The Miz on getting the GM role and everything, but you could definitely argue that he still needs that change to really get him on the bounce back for his character.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of here, Finn Balor and The Miz, they end up having a match after this opening segment, which this was fine. You know, they had things going on with the ref and then Maurice coming in and all that stuff. But eventually Finn just wins, as he should. So I get they were trying to protect Miz a little bit, so I guess that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, tonight really was about these two just messing with each other in different ways and, you know, putting Finn in there with The Miz, who can get a little bit of revenge for what happened to him at Triple Threat last week, I think works out fine and you know, keeps everything moving forward. It's the same with Dean's match with Bray that gets made a little later on in the show that ends up main eventing. Like, it's overly fine, but, you know, it's just more stuff to allow them to mess with each other.
Not to mention we've seen Dean and Bray plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how much more can they really do? We knew Miz was going to get involved in that match eventually, too, helping Bray Wyatt win. And Bray gets a good win, so that's something at least.
I loved Miz on commentary during this, too. Like, anytime he grabbed the mic or something that let him talk to people, like, he was phenomenal, as he always is, and obviously he has been. So,
hopefully the backstage segment where he gets mad at Ambrose because he canceled his Miz TV. Well, that was, I like that. He's like, oh, I had one of the One Direction guys on. Ambrose is like talking about somebody else.
Right. Dean getting the breaking out the popcorn and soda again for a match too was wonderful. So I had no problems really with what they did. It just wasn't overly interesting.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of just let's carry it, you know, move this show along, give them something to do, and that's kind of what they did here. The focus was not on them, and that's fine, though, because you know what, they've kind of feuded already on SmackDown previously. We've kind of seen this, so it was good that they focused the show in other places, and I'm fine with that. One of them, the major focus was more on the tag team role. Tomorrow, we'll talk about that at the end here. The women also got a bit of a focus here, because Nia Jax, they didn't take too long, but I'm glad to see it. You got the Bliss and Nia team, as Alexa was talking about how great Nia Jax is. And Nia's like, oh, well, looks like you got yourself a new friend. So I'm not going to hate at all the Nia and Alexa team up, at least until, I guess, Nia gets a title shot. So I wanted this to happen. We got it pretty quickly. Alexa Bliss taking on Mickey James. Of course, this Bayley was out there to kind of counter Nia Jax being there. Bayley does get a big crossbody to the outside on Nia at one point. But, you know, Alexa getting the win on a Mickey James, who I feel like she hasn't even won a singles match, really, since she's been back, honestly. And Alexa just slams Mickey James on the ropes and just kind of takes that win. The crowd really didn't care. This happens during the other women's match, too, which is, it's not really good. Right. But, yeah, I mean, this kind of furthers the story along.
Yeah, I mean, Alicia Fox in the ring with Sasha Banks later on the show was just almost throwaway, to be honest with you. And Sasha tried to get something good, and they did okay, I guess. It just, Alicia's not overly great inside the ring, so... Alexa Bliss and Mickey James, however, I thought was fine, if not a little too long. I like a lot of the dichotomies here. Obviously, you can shunt Mickey into a Nia Jax feud real fast now if you want, with Mickey sort of trying to play devil's advocate to get Nia to turn on Alexa at some point. And then, obviously, you still have all the stuff with Bayley going on. So, I think there's everything's sort of moving along nicely here, too. It's, once again, nothing really overly interesting other than the Alexa and Nia pair up here is what's going on.
It almost felt like the crowd was just paying attention to something else during the...
They were more than happy to entertain themselves throughout the evening.
No, but it was like there was something going on. You could see the crowd had their... They returned during the Sasha and... Alicia Matz, like, there was something going on in the crowd. They were, from the moment it started until the moment it ended, they were all looking at themselves, basically, trying to figure out what was going on over there in the corner or something. It was weird. But yeah, just, that, look, this is, I hate this for, you know, the matches weren't anything, you know, you need to write home about or whatever, but still, this doesn't really bode well for, you know, when you have these women's matches, you give them two, and you go to some of these places, and they just don't care, and makes you, you know, you wonder if Vince is thinking, oh, maybe we didn't do the right thing here, giving them more time. The fans still aren't caring. I worry about that sometimes, you know, just...
Yeah, I think there's... It's just because I think that one, I don't want to say they rushed the Alexa Bliss title victory, but they kind of did. Because I don't think the Raw audience, or really a lot of the people who watch Raw and maybe don't watch SmackDown, haven't really gotten a terrific feel for the new characters that they have on hand now. And it's just not really working out in their favor.
Yeah, I can agree with that. They kind of just got the belt off Bayley, was just weird because you'd think they were building to some kind of match with Bayley and Sasha. That kind of didn't happen, and they're not even really interacting that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just kind of weird, period. But it's what they decided to do here. This wasn't the greatest again for the women as far as the segments go, but I just hope that this is one of those anomalies where I guess England was just more into other things, and you know, they don't take this as a sign or anything like that, because that does happen. Just, you know, WWE also hasn't done themselves too many favors with Raw, period, other than like Charlotte and Sasha moving the women. It's just been kind of, you know, SmackDown's been doing great with it, making it a feature for them. They're in the promos all the time, you know, all that stuff. It's Raw kind of feels like it's just a thing that they do as part of the show.
Yeah, and there's a lot of the times where I feel like they're purposefully waiting for something. Because, I mean, it's clear what they're doing, at least with Sasha and Bayley, is that Sasha's going to go off on her own, have her own little deal going on with whoever for short periods of time until it's time for her to turn. And they settle whatever they're trying to settle here with Alexa and Nia to establish them sort of as another force. So it's just, like, I hate to say it, but Raw is like playing the longest waiting game, waiting for the big stuff to happen. And then it does, and then you have to wait and figure out if it's going to fizzle or if it's going to be something you need to pay attention to. And most of the time, it's the first one and not the second one.
Yeah, that's not good for your A show.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be delivering, and they're not really doing so here. Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe also have a match. This was good. They led into a DQ again with Joe getting pissed because he slammed Rollins' head into the exposed turnbuckle, not once, but twice, causing the DQ. And then Joe locks Rollins into the coquina clutch. I enjoyed this match. You know these two are going to have a good match here. Just, I kind of agree with Larry's assessment. For one, you're giving this away on TV, and why do you need to have a 15-minute match other than to obviously to waste time? Because they didn't have a lot of segments planned for the show to get to a DQ finish. That kind of seems weird.
Yeah, I mean, if they're trying to tell us that they're getting the Extreme Rules match at the pay-per-view, then that's sort of whatever at this point. But, I mean, it just, I'm running out of interest. Just, it's gone so long. They waited. They had to wait around to do some stuff with him because of injuries, and of course Triple H needing the match at Mania. So I mean, it almost feels sort of secondary to a lot of the other stuff going on. And I mean, the match is fine overall, but 15 minutes to get to the DQ and then Samoa Joe to not let go of the clutch. I don't know. I sort of lost interest.
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, just there, and we'll hopefully they can put a nice bow on it at Extreme Rules, and well, it won't really be nice, whatever kind of, you know, maybe a bloody bow on it.
Yeah.
At Extreme Rules, and that'll be the end of it. They move on. Maybe that's what it is. You know, Joe just beats the crap out of Rollins so bad that it causes Roman to come out and defend him. And then that's how you kind of get the Roman and Joe match or something. But we'll see. They've still got some time to figure out what they want to do here since, you know, they got to get through Backlash first. But the other stuff here is TJP taking on Jack Gallagher. With Neville on commentary. I thought Neville was good on commentary again, as he usually is. TJP beats Jack Gallagher, I think, as you would expect. Gallagher got a few moments where you thought he might win. Just 3 minutes for a match seems weird when you gave some of these other matches a lot more time. But, yeah, I guess.
You know, I was okay with this because it was supposed to seem fluky because Gallagher clearly had TJP's number, and then TJP has to go the extra violent mile to make sure he takes care of another problem for Neville, and they're working this the way I thought that they should, and I'm enjoying this, honestly. TJP being the aggressive lackey without really realizing it works for me for now. Neville was wonderful on commentary, especially him threatening to murder Cole, which I was totally all right with. And I mean, really everything. I mean, it continues to build up to something nice. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with Aries and Neville at the pay-per-view to make sure they get a big blow off.
Yeah, because Aries, you know, TJP did a beat down on Gallagher afterwards, and Aries made the save. Nice touch on having the knee brace on to sell the fact that he had the injury. I forgot to mention about you mentioned the Miz on commentary. I liked the Miz bringing up Michael Cole. You should be like my biggest fan. Now you're like hating on me every chance you get. What's wrong with you? Like, I love that. Nice continuity on the fact that, yeah, like, Michael Cole used to be the biggest Miz fan ever. To the point where you just hated Cole because he kept mentioning the Miz. It's awesome. And now it's just total 180.
Yeah.
I think the last thing we have here is the Tag Team Turmoil match, which goes almost 30 minutes with the commercials and everything. All the teams involved here. But Sheamus and Cesaro are one of the starting teams, and they run the gauntlet and win. They had obviously some moments where they could have lost Golden Truth. They had Golden Truth be the final team. They had a backstage segment kind of building up that, hey, we have a big win-loss record here. Heading more towards the losses. We need to do something about that. Let's turn back the clock on when Truth and Goldust were great. Almost kind of teasing that they might do sort of what SmackDown did with Breezango getting the contender spot. But Cesaro and Sheamus move on and continue to further the heel turns with beating up Goldust and Truth afterwards and the Hardys coming out. I thought Jeff Hardy couldn't go to England. So I guess they fixed that with WWE.
I guess they fixed that, or maybe the time frame on his international traveling has elapsed or something, because I was under the same impression. So, or maybe WWE just has enough money to throw at stuff to be like, we can fix that problem.
Right.
I love this tag team stuff. Cesaro and Sheamus look absolutely awesome. It really sucks that the rest of the tag division sort of has to take the fall for it, but you got to build somebody out of this to make sure they can have a run with the Hardys. And Cesaro and Sheamus certainly fit the mold, and there are two guys who can actually capitalize on this on a singles run if they keep the run going and have to split due to a lack of star power up at the top of the card. So this worked for me. I loved the matches. They told good stories throughout the night. I loved that.
Yeah, I agree. That was what was great about this. You know, I mentioned the Goldust and Truth one, but, you know, you had Enzo and Cass in here, too, and that one was good. They've really done a lot with the sharpshooter to make it this big thing for Cesaro, so when he uses it and he almost wins or he does win with it, it's a big deal when somebody gets out of it, you know. Everybody had kind of a point of being in there, and that was the great thing about this. I think, obviously, the big moment of the show. Not that there was too many standout things about this show, obviously, but for me, it's what stood out the most was I knew Cesaro and Sheamus was going to win, but they got me a couple of times with some of the teams, so applaud them for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of covers everything. So all we got to do is put a rating on this bad boy, and we'll be out of here. What do you think about Raw as a whole?
You know, I really love the cruiserweight stuff. I really love the tag team stuff. Everything else is either just sort of existing or moving on, trying to get to where it's going to go, and it wasn't overly interesting. So I'm going to say I'm going to give it a 5. Absolutely middle of the road. You have some stuff that piques your interest throughout, but not enough to really get you over the top to a good rating.
Yeah. I think certainly I would agree with you there. I give the turmoil some extra points for being really good and having the stories in there. You know, Rollins and Joe had a good match, even though it was there for the DQ. A lot of the stuff, like you said, is kind of just furthering things along. But, you know, Miz and Ambrose, I thought, made the most of it. I'll give it like a 5.5, something like that.
Hmm.
So, all right. Oh, that's going to do it for our look at Raw this week. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And if you did, then you can always hit that subscribe button. Either on the Wrestling to the Max feed or on the WTM Network feed, where you get all of our other great stuff that we do that's not WTM related. So definitely, you know, you can get our football podcast, the video games podcast. You can get all these other, you know, these great entertainment podcasts they'll be doing. You know, we talked about Guardians at the beginning. They'll be doing a Guardians of the Galaxy review that you can listen on there in a couple days. So definitely want to check that out. But and we'll also have WTM Part 1 to look at as well. If you haven't heard that yet, make sure you check that out. And, of course, WTMnet.com, where you get all of our stuff, some wrestling articles, and other things that aren't wrestling. So you want to check that out as well. So until we see you next week for more Raw that will actually be live. We'll see you later, everybody.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.